thought it'd be good to inform you that since we prayed for Brother Reed last night, I think it was, that he did not have a heart attack. He was checked out at the hospital, and the doctors have sent him home. So we give thanks to the Lord for that.
God is good. All the time? Oh, good. Praise the Lord. We're happy to be in the presence of the Lord. We are a few minutes earlier, but it's better to start this way. So, God has been answering prayers. He's started a work. He's continuing a work. And He will complete a work. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Are you tired?
Yes.
Are you sleepy?
Yes.
Well, let's get with it. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure, I wouldn't bet on this, but I'm pretty sure if some of us were at a football game, we would have been up, right up there, shouting and all the rest. And we've been so excited. But we thank God we can come into the service and worship our God. And the beauty about it is serving the Lord, it's adventurous. It's never a boredom in serving God. And if, just in case, if we find ourselves being bored, well then we should spend some time in prayer. If we find ourselves being discouraged, do the right thing. Bow the head and spend that time in prayer. And you'll be surprised to see how much God would encourage our hearts and bless us and strengthen us. It's been a beautiful week thus far. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand as we open in prayer. And the Lord has been doing wonderful things. Welcome those of you who are streaming via the internet. Welcome every one of you. We are not here on behalf of ourselves, but we are here as representatives of our homes, as representatives of our local church, as representatives of our communities. I would be bold. According to Scripture, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we are here with a responsibility to believe the Lord, trust in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight, for Thine is the praise, Thine is the honor and the glory. Thank You, Lord, for the many miracles that You have wrought. Thank You for the healings that You have accomplished. Thank You for the deliverances that You have brought about. We worship and bow down Your precious name tonight. We pray You lift us up into the realms, dear God. Lift our spirits above that soulish level where we can worship You. Father, we ask that You captivate our minds. Take full control of our minds and bring us into Your divine presence that we can worship You in spirit and in truth. That we can worship You in the freedom that You have given us, because we know today for whom the Son of Man set free is free indeed. Thank You for that freedom. Thank You that we can worship You, Lord. We uplift Your precious name. Let the words of our mouth tonight, let the meditations of our hearts, our songs, or whatever is said and done, be to Thy honor and glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We can be seated. God's people are a blessed people. I don't know if I'm way behind here, that I'm just not getting a feedback from you. I just don't get it. God's people are a blessed people.
Amen.
Amen. That's it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And we are thankful to the Lord for what He has done. And we appreciate so much this move of the Spirit that We do not make appeals, and we do not go out and just begging and cap in hand. I didn't say handicapped. Cap in hand, begging, because God provides for His people. God provides for His work. And I like what Hudson Taylor says. He says, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. And that's been our watchword over the years. And God has helped us, and He's blessed us. So tonight, after having said that, as was announced, we will take up an offering. But before we do so, I guess we should sing a song that comes to mind. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. I'm going to ask Brian to come up here, if you can just help me to sing in this song here. When upon life's billow, that's number 24 in your songbook, the red songbook. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And there's a beautiful chorus that goes, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. But really, we cannot count our blessings. We cannot count our blessing. God's blessing upon His people is so tremendous. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing.
Should we have them stand?
Yes, we can stand, please.
Thank you.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one.
Thank you.
will take up an offering as was mentioned. And if you are paying by cash, you can write your name. If you need a receipt, you can write your name, your address on an envelope, and you could put it inside there. And if you're writing your checks, it's going to be written in Global Missions. Is that right? Okay, it's going to be Sharon Schools. Sorry about that. It's hard being up here, you know. Difficult to ask. I was given that instruction, but I'm not defending myself. Praise the Lord. So we'll ask the ushers, and we're going to pray and ask the Lord's blessing on the offering that we're going to take up tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wonder if Brother Gordon Kuczynski, can you? Yes. Praise God. Let's pray.
Father, this evening, we just want to thank you for all your goodness and all your, this time, all your provisions for our well-being, Father. Lord, it is such a wonderful provision that we have here at this campground to meet together, the body, at this the time of the year, and to worship you, learn about you, fellowship with you and with one another, Father. We know, Father, that there are natural expenses incurred in this in having this facility operational and being available and ready for our periodic accommodation, meals and whatnot. Father, we are so grateful that we have the opportunity to give back some of what you have provided for us to make sure that the expenses are met, Lord. And so we just give you thanks that we have the opportunity to do that, and we are able to do it. And we do it with grateful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. So, thank you, brother. So, Brian again. Yeah, we'll ask the deacons if they are in place. And praise God. Hallelujah. Singing, I just before we sing this song again, I will ask some of the young people from the Park Valley, Church there, and our sister Cindy Arstead, if you can come up front here and help us do some singing. Amen?
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands.
Especially those who are listening by way of the internet. We want to tell you, and even those in this congregation here, just to be sure that none of us miss the mark, I wanted to ask you, especially those who are listening, the question I'd like to ask you is simple, very ordinary, very down to earth, is, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? The answer rests with you. So if you do, well, keep serving Him. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can simply, wherever you are, just bow your heads there and just ask the Lord to come into your heart, to change your life. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, He is capable to transform you and make you a brand new creature in Jesus Christ. This is what God does. So I'll encourage you that, and we're going to sing a song. It's called At the Cross, At the Cross. It's a very old hymn, and it's been sung for many, many years. And the lady that was inspired was Fanny Crosby. She was blind at the age of 6 months. She had an eye infection. And when she saw the doctor in those days, they probably prescribed or treated the eyes wrongfully, but she became blind. And over the years, God has blessed her ministry that we can partake of that even right now as we sing this song. There was one time she was being interviewed by a group of journalists, and they asked her, Fanny, would you like to regain your sight, your natural sight? And she said, no. They asked her the reason why, and she said, the world is filled with too many distractions. She was naturally blind, but spiritually her eyes were wide open. And there are hundreds, I think thousands of songs that were composed under the inspiration of the Lord that we could sing today and enjoy the inspiration that God has given a woman so many years ago. So this song is found on page 1. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. We're going to sing this song, especially of us here who know Jesus as our Savior. As we sing this song, it's for us to rejoice, to be grateful, to be thankful. And I'm pretty sure these young people, when we look at these young people, those behind us here, behind me, and those in the congregation, we have to say thank God. God is raising up young people of all descriptions, of every place. And I want to encourage you to tell you that many young people are blazing the trail. Just think of the moving of God's Spirit, and many of them are just serving the Lord with that zeal and vitality and living for Him. So we're all going to sing this song, "At last and did my Savior bled, did my Sovereign die." Let's all stand. Juncture in history that makes a difference in our lives. It's that juncture in history that made a difference to the whole world. And we can look back at the cross, and not only look back, we can look forward and receive the blessings of the Lord. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. I get excited. I feel so much enthusiastic when I hear about the things of the cross. The cross speaks of victory. The cross speaks of power. The cross speaks of deliverance and healing and miracles and all that we've been experiencing today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I better watch out. A sermon is coming up. Brother Wayne is going to speak to you tonight, by the way. Praise the Lord. It's just marvelous when God's people get together and we can sing to the glory of God. There's a particular song, "You're God and You're God Alone." Isn't that true? Isn't He God and He's and God? He was there before time began. Isn't that so, young people? Amen. Isn't that such a powerful, wonderful experience that we are serving a God who was before we even existed? And when we think about time, time is just a thin slice of eternity. And it's being measured. But even before all of these things, there was God. And there, God and God alone. I don't know how many of us knows this song. I know these young people know it, right?
Page 14.
Oh, that's a different one. Yes. Is that a different one? Yes, that's a different one. So, now you're getting it. Now you're getting it why I decided to use the Hezekiah formula to put the singers in front. Amen? Hallelujah. So, if you know, just sing along. If you don't know, just hum along. If you can't sing or you can't hum, just flow along in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Unshakable, unmovable. That's our position because of our God. And He is God alone. Can you just think about that? Reminds me so much of our position as sons of God, as our position in sonship. unmovable, unshakable. That's who we are. He is God and He is alone. How many of us in the congregation know this song? Just raise your hands. Praise the Lord. I see a few hands. Well, we're all in the learning process, including me. Because I'll tell you what, this particular song, done in South America, the young people would get and they would sing this song over and over nonstop. And they would be singing this song and singing this song. And the Spirit of God just comes upon them and moves. And it builds the faith in their, build a faith in their life. They believe God. And after that, we'll have prayer and believe God for anything. Our God is the God of impossibilities. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you before, I think we should sing this song again, don't you?
Yes.
And I want to encourage you. Some of us, we've been prayed for here. And we have received a touch from the Lord. But we have to believe God because the enemy is not pleased. And I want to tell you also that symptoms come and symptoms go. But we will have to keep trusting the Lord. If you have been prayed over for a particular pain or some ailment and the symptoms came this morning, well, don't just be discouraged and say, oh, God did not do the work. You have to keep pressing on. Amen?
Yes.
That's unstoppable, immovable, unshakable. That's who He is. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. Praise Hallelujah. Yes. Let's sing it again. Praise God. Sing that song. God has given us some victories here. And God is also preparing the way for some of us who have not yet entered in to that victory completely. Don't be discouraged. The camp is not over. The camp is not over. God's still working. Don't be discouraged. You just keep on being consistent and never give up. There's something, I love that song. I sing it a lot. I encourage people to sing it too. Victory in Jesus. And remember, victory has been promised to us. They say it's an old story, but it's a new, brand new story. Just ask the people who were touched. Every day, God is touching people, healing them across the globe. And so we're going to sing that beautiful song. I heard an old story of a Savior came from glory. And let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
I'd like to hear you sing some more. I don't know, there is something standing up here, and when you're engulfed in the not only the acoustics, but you're engulfed in the human voices, it's such a powerful blessing. I'd like you to sing out that victory. And if you have not got that victory, claim the victory tonight. God has promised us the victory, and we're not going to just dip into the victory. I like that word, plunge, head on, plunge into victory. God has promised us that victory through the cross, that very first song that we sang, through the cross of Jesus. So let's sing for His glory. Amen. Glory to God. This is not breaking news. We've just got a note here. Brian, would you read it, please, since he is the carrier of this news.
Our young sister, Noelle Rousseau, says, please pray for Noelle Rousseau. She has some kind of allergic reaction. It is swelling up badly. She is at the emergency room right now.
Amen. Amen. We're going to pray.
Yes,
that's what we've been singing about. And you're not going to leave your homes and travel by car and by plane, and you've taken a lot of time and come here to gather and to pray. And we're not going to just gather here. God has the answer.
Yes.
We're not going to waste time.
Amen.
But the enemy, whenever God is doing something, the enemy always tries to poke himself in. Amen? So let's pray. Let's just raise our hands and believe
Hallelujah.
God for Noel right now.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you for your child, Noel, at this time. Lord, you know that even in that emergency, we pray against every allergy in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We rebuke and we resist every allergic reaction in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We take the authority in the name and in the power of the blood of Jesus, and through the cross of Jesus Christ, and through the word of God, and by prayer, and by intercession, and by unity, and we say, be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, touch our sister Noelle. Cause that, oh God, that she may feel better. We ask thee right now that you will touch her. Give the doctors and nurses the wisdom and the knowledge to attend to her. We thank you, Lord. We dispel every fear in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke fear. And we rebuke doubt and unbelief and every schisms and everything that would try to come to hinder us from receiving the blessings of God. Father God, we reject every work of the enemy that will try to disrupt what you're doing. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we claim the victory for our sister. Touch her, quicken her mind. Oh God, let your peace just minister to her, dear God. May your peace just overwhelm her. We pray for her mom and dad too also. Yes, we pray for Mark and Brenda that you'll be with them too. And oh God, give them the wisdom there. And dear God, we thank you, dear God, as our faith rests in you for hearing and for answering this prayer. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we have another request here. We're going to pray.
This is presented by the Booker family for Larry Heeg. Please pray for our friend Larry Heeg, who was diagnosed with an aggressive brain cancer on Saturday. He will be having surgery tomorrow, which is Friday, and has asked for the prayers of the church. Amen. Amen. Lord God, yes. Whatever is a concern to us is a concern to you.
Yes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you that everything must bow before one name. That name is Jesus.
Yes.
And in your wonderful name, we present your name to this
Lord.
Cancer in the name of Jesus
you,
Christ. And
Hallelujah.
We pray, dear God, that you would do that quickening work.
Yes.
Dear Lord, let every tissue begin to fall into order and line up with your will. May life be restored, dear Lord. Father, we pray that even we ask largely that when they begin to do the explore with their screening methods, that they will wonder, oh, there's nothing here at all. Lord, we're just presenting this before you.
Yes,
we pray, dear Father, that you would be glorified in this situation, that this would be an opportunity for testimony that they who name your name, they overcame by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And we just claim that right now. For Larry, we agree together.
Yes,
we thank you where people agree that you
name.
Command your blessing, even
Hallelujah.
Everlasting life, life
Hallelujah.
Forevermore. For
thank
Larry,
you.
In Jesus' name,
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise
amen.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God has his program, and nothing shall be able to intercept God's program. And nothing is going to be able to restrict God's people from praising him. If Paul and Silas can praise God in the jail, and if many of those martyrs, they prayed and they praised God right down to the last breath that they're breathing, and they praise the Lord. Nothing is going to stop us from praising God here in the tabernacle. So we shall continue. Hallelujah. Continue the victory song and the victory story. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Songs here. a lot of songs here. Just been, I don't want to say flying around, but a lot of songs that is coming. And we would really want to continue in singing and so on, but...
I stand in awe of you.
Yes, thank you. I stand in awe of you. Isn't that a wonderful way to tell the Lord? I should share a little testimony. There is a young girl in South America there, and the last time I was there, I spoke with her, and she was so down. And young people, listen, we know that you go through your times, difficult times, your depressed times, times of uncertainty. We understand, we know that. And that's why we are praying for you. And this particular girl, she had finished school and got her academics and so forth. She wasn't getting a job. And so she was down and she was just at home. She just didn't know. So when I saw her and I spoke to her and she told me all of her story and so on, I said, it came to me immediately then, pray that God would shock her. You know, electricity that goes through the human thing gives you a shock and a jolt. I didn't really mean that. I mean that God would shock her and cause her faith to come alive. And that she would experience a miracle beyond her wildest dreams. So I prayed, and the word just came out as I was praying. I said, Lord, this young woman, give her one of the biggest shocks of her life. Shock her. I wasn't thinking about a husband, you know. But I was thinking about what she was going through and pray and so on. Then, a few hours later, that evening, she got a phone call from a friend that where her friend works, her boss sent her to contact this young lady to tell her a job is there for her. Turn out to work the next day. Hallelujah! How can you explain that? There's no explanation for that in the natural. That's the realm of sonship. That's the realm that we... So God wants to bring it to that place where we can be shocked and mesmerized and so surprised and so taken back that we wonder, well, what's going on? This is the realm of the Spirit. This is what God wants to do. And I believe here at this camp, many of us will experience that. And I tell you this, before we go home, when we arrive to our homes, we will hear of so many wonderful things that God has already accomplished. Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Praise God. I stand in awe of you. Praise the Lord.
Beautiful beyond description.
Look at the depths of your love.
Thank you. Thank you, young people. Thank you, Cindy.
Dave Clausen has a testimony that he'd like to read to us. It's a miracle that happened, and I'll let him share it.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. I was just driving to Edmonton the other day when my daughter called me, and this is what she shared with me. This was happened on last Thursday. It says, for those of you who have been praying for Joseph and Natalia Bissell's son, Logan, who went for surgery today, that was Thursday, last Thursday, this is what his mother wrote from Natalia. We are home with Logan, and it was just a miracle what happened. The doctor didn't even make a cut. He saw at last minute that he could just pop his hips in place. So we got to take him home. We wanted to thank you all for your prayer, for your prayers. His surgeons that's been doing this for 20 years had to take a step back after he popped his hips in place because he was just so shocked. Everyone in the room was. Praise the Lord for answers to prayer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God. I kind of liked Brian's analogy of that 5-year apprenticeship. So I really am about 2 years ahead of schedule here. I shouldn't really be up here, is what I'm trying to say. Praise God. Father, we just come before your throne. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your servants. We thank you for the operation of the move of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are moving by your Holy Spirit. Father, we've been in darkness. You've brought us into marvelous light. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that is moving all over the earth. We hear your voice wherever we go because we're tuning our ear for you. You are in your people all over the earth, and we thank you for each one that has accepted you as their personal Savior. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for born-again believers. And Father, we pray that you would take us on a journey to sonship, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The scriptures that have been on my mind, people have been hovering around them. And I wondered if I could even skip this, but Brother, verse 35, the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea should obey him? As I would like to continue on reading in Mark 5, but I'm thinking about this evening as a little spending a few days with Jesus. This is a walk with Jesus. We're going to spend some time in Jesus' world, which is not so much different than our world. The first thing that comes to my mind is, doesn't Jesus know the weather? Did he check online? He is the line. Amen? He's the source. We want conditions to be perfect. Brother Dave Clausen just bought a motorhome. And, he was getting some instructions from someone else that had a motorhome. And he said, well, leave early. And if it gets windy, just park it. Wait for the wind to come from the right direction. That fits well with my thinking, at least on the budget side. So there's a wind, there's waves, and what is the problem here? The problem is that there's a boat, and there's people in it, and it's better if the boat is in the water, not the water in the boat. And so this is how we operate. The disciples are bailing, and the problem is they don't have a pail big enough. What I'm talking about is that we like to bail when we got issues. I'm not talking about bailing. I'm talking about getting water out of the boat. When we run into issues, we want to take the water out ourselves. Is that true? Yeah. In the meantime, Jesus is the man that they had a lot of confidence in. And so do I. How about you? Yeah, that's good to hear. And here he's sleeping. You'd think, why would they say he took a pillow with him? Like he's in a deep sleep. When you go to a hotel room, some people take their own pillow along because they want to have a good sleep. Amen? So that was Jesus' philosophy too. And, you know, My wife doesn't allow me to take pillows along anymore. Because the hotels seem to inherit things. So, being as this is an issue, as a plumber, actually I haven't done plumbing for many years. Management and plumbing is two different things. But as a plumber, and we had this not long ago, we had water. I was supposed to be in Ontario in a meeting at 2 o'clock. At midnight the day before, I've got 3/4 of an inch of water in my basement. And I've got 3 tenants down there. And so I went and got some pumps. And so that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? I would have suggested some pumps here. Water in the boat. At the Jesus didn't deal with the water. You know what he dealt with? He dealt with the wind. Jesus always gets down to the root problem in our life. He doesn't deal with symptoms. He always gets down to the root problem. The disciples wake him up. They explain the problem. And he says 3 words. Peace, be still. Isn't that simple? And then he says, how is it that you have no faith? You know, the disciples had spent a fair chunk of time with him. They had seen a lot of things. Israel had seen a lot of things too. They'd seen the water divide. And they crossed on dry land. They weren't in the next. Can you imagine the excitement? We're going. We're going somewhere. We're getting out of bondage. We're going into a land that's better than where we came from. This is exciting times. I think it might have been about 3 days before they started to murmur. You know why? We haven't got any water. No water. Doesn't God know this? Like, can you identify with this? Can you identify that, you know, we all want an ideal life? We would want no wind. We want to be greenhouse Christians. No wind, water is always there. If the sun doesn't shine, the furnace runs. You know, it's perfect. But if you get a greenhouse plant into the wind, it will not last. God is not raising sissies. He's raising sons of God. He's looking for us to mature. He's looking for us to be better than this. He's looking for us to be better than that. Where will we go when there's no water? Where will we go when there's wind? What are we going to do? You know, in Hebrews, it tells us that they could not enter in because of unbelief. You know, this unbelief isn't going to happen in the greenhouse. We're in the wind, and God is wanting us to be more like Moses than the children of Israel. He knew his ways, and they knew the acts they saw. What God is looking for is a relationship. God is looking for a relationship. You know, God doesn't want to run this planet by himself. He doesn't want to operate the world without us. He doesn't want to run the world without his people. I often wondered why I am the way I am. That's funnier than I thought, actually. But I like to build things. You know, if I'm going to build one building a year, I want to build two, and then I want to build three a year. You know, like, I want to do something. I'm always doing something. And I felt bad about that, and I said, you know what? What's wrong with me? And I condemned myself for it. One day, the Lord seemed to give me a little peace about it. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. What did God do? He created everything. You know, there's nothing wrong with creating some things. You don't want to make an antenna, Brother Marcus? You know, God, he's okay with that. He is still creating today. Did you know that? You know, they kind of thought it was all finished when he reached the sixth day and he made man. But you know, when he tells me that he's going to make a way where there is no way, that tells me he's still making something. And he is going to make a way where there isn't a way. When God is going to impart faith into our hearts more and more, we won't have a problem with wind. We won't have a problem with all of these things. We're not going to have any problems with that. We'll say to this mountain, be thou cast down into the sea. Fill that gap. Make it level. He says, when I come back, am I going to find faith on the earth? Are we going to believe God? Are we finding out right now that he is able? You know, we've been going through a lot of trouble in our business. I mean, I'm not talking small problems. I'm talking about water in the boat type of problems. In September, it's going to be 2 years that this has been going on. And there's a person in my life, in our life, that has made things really miserable. But you know, I can focus on the person that's creating issues for me, or I can say, what is God doing in my life? You know, if this word of God doesn't have application to our life, then it's kind of useless in a sense. You know, the reason you want to read the word of God is so that it can plant faith in your heart, because that's what God's looking for. He's coming for a people with faith. Give me faith for the circumstance I'm in. You know, when you're in a deep, deep valley, and everything you've ever worked for could be blown into the wind. You begin to read and you begin to pray and you begin to think, what does this all look like? You know, God wants clay that is soft. He wants to form the vessel the way He wants it. Well, you know, when you have something against a brother or a sister or somebody in the world or a circumstance, that's tailor-made for you to grow. You know, we're squeezing and squirming to get out of our circumstance. But really, we should be thanking God. We need to look at the one who is in the vessel. Just temporarily, I'll just head off to John. We'll be back to Mark 4 or 5, but I'll just quickly read John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." I've sometimes wondered, what is the work of God? The disciples asked him, what is the work of God? Do you wonder that? What is the work of God? And Jesus put it so simple. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom I have sent. Well, how simple is that? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. But Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him. You are in good hands. You know, when the trouble is running high in your life, if you've accepted the Lord as your personal Savior, he's in the boat. He's in the boat. He is in the boat. I read about the children of Israel leaving. They're all excited. You know, the Pharaoh, he had a pretty decent crew, didn't he? These were his bricklayers. And when it started, you know, their request is that they could leave for 3 days. What a meager thought of deliverance. God had something far bigger in mind than a 3-day out of bondage plan. He wanted to deliver them for good. And so we're all excited because the last plague had come. Now they're ready to go. There's a cloud by night, a cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. The reason I'm telling you this story is because it has application to your life and mine. We have been in Egypt. But we're leaving. Things get pretty rough for a Pharaoh who is the devil in our life. He's not real anxious to let you go. Occasionally, he gives up a little bit, and then when he considers what he's losing, he has a new fury. But God knows exactly how to deal with every single circumstance. He knows how to deal with the Pharaoh in our life. Do you believe that? That cloud that had been over them to lead them, you know, wouldn't that be nice if we had a cloud that we could physically see? Oh, now God's moving. Okay, so yeah, let's go. But he had a pillar of fire too, and the pillar of fire was so that they could see by night. How many people like traveling by night? You know, 2 a.m. the pillar of fire is moving. You feel like, you know, we just got to sleep here. You know, this walk with the Lord is not a walk of convenience. I can tell you that. Jesus, he ministered all day, and at night he went to the Mount of Olives to talk to God. How's that sound for a lifestyle? No iPhone, no iPad. He was about his Father's business. That's what he was doing. But what I liked about that story is when Pharaoh, he said, okay, you guys are gone. Well, you leave now. And then he changed his mind and he said, you know, I just can't stand to lose my bricklayers. And so he's on the track to get them. And then God takes that cloud and he puts it between him and the enemy. Isn't that wonderful? They couldn't see them. You know, and you know, when you think you're vulnerable, you're not nearly as vulnerable as you think you are. There, God is in complete control. Do you believe that? God controls that cloud. He decides when it moves. He decides where it is. That's what God does. Day 2, chapter 5. You see, he was on this cruise, all-inclusive. Right? So let's see why this happened. They came over under the other side, the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Jesus always knows where to go and how to get the job done. A man met him out of the tombs, a man that had an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. See, they were trying to bind this man with, who had a spiritual problem with natural methods. Impossible. Impossible. Still impossible in 2017. Still can't be done. Impossible. The enemy of your soul has this kind of power to break chains. Maybe they weren't very big chains, I don't know. It doesn't tell us how big these chains were. But I've seen the enemy at work. We had dogs tied up in our room, in our garage one day. They weren't ours. Had a tenant. This tenant, or he wasn't really a tenant. Tenants pay rent, right? He wasn't one of those. I guess maybe I was a halfway house. He was demonic, demon possessed, and he came to see me one day. And I asked him if he wanted deliverance. And he agreed, so I called the other elders and we prayed for him. And he was delivered. He prophesied right there. He sang a new song right there. Transformed by Jesus Christ. Transformed. One day I was gone. And he was listening to some music. And when he turned on his music, these demons came back. Do you know that that's what the scripture says was going to happen? Scripture says that if you are released of demonic, you are empty. You're an empty house. And he comes back and he says, if there's nobody occupying, I'll go find my buddies and we'll come back. And the worst, and the last state is worse than the first state. That's what the Bible declares. And so he turns on his music and these demonic forces come back. And so he says, he tells these demons to go into those dogs. And those dogs were chained up in my garage. And when that happened, in less than 5 minutes, those dogs had torn those chains, ran out to the road, and got driven over by a car. This is a true story. The things that are in the Word of God are not for someday down the road. They are for us now. When do we want to believe? As soon as possible. Right? As soon as possible. Okay. But let's understand that our lives are tailor-made to be overcomers. Amen? God knows how rough the waters are going to be. He knows how much water is coming into the boat. He knows how thick the chains are. Verse 5, always night and day he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This sounds like a really abundant life, doesn't it? That's a terrible life. That is the enemy of our souls That's how he operates. He promises you gold, and he gives you chains and knives to cut yourself. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" It's interesting that he knew who he was meeting. Makes me really want to spend time with Jesus. You know, Jesus was never big on words. He didn't, you know, like maybe I got way too many here. But he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Is that simple? It's simple when you have the authority. It's simple when you have the faith. And we need simple faith. He asked him, "What's your name?" He answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." Sound familiar? God forthwith, and forthwith Jesus gave them leaven. No, gave them leave. Jesus gave them leave. Christ is in you. This same Jesus that we're reading about, he is in you. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. The herds ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. These guys are now unemployed. And they came to Jesus and see him and was possessed with him that was possessed with the devil. And had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. I can't even comprehend why that would be. Here's a guy that has done a tremendous work, manifested the power of God, and he said, "We don't want you here." So it's a different world, isn't it? They began to pray, verse 17, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He wants to be a disciple of Jesus. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell him how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." He did not want him to follow him. He wanted him to be an influence where he was. G- Jesus had he had disciples. He had those that followed him. But not everything and not everybody. He wanted this man that had this experience to be influential within his own community. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. People believed him. You know, I'm sure he had quite a reputation. You know, this is the guy that hangs out in the tombs. Can't be tamed. When Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Okay, so we're now on day two, right? Like, he was in the boat. He gets there. And he ministers to one person. And he goes through this terrible storm to get to him. So when I read this, I fall in love with Jesus more and more. All the time. You know, he'll take the hard road. He'll take a windy day. He'll go through this whole turmoil to minister to one man. You know, and sometimes, you know, we wonder, like, you know, we have church, you know, and they might go to Lloyd, you know, and there's one or two or three people there, and how efficient is that? It's a scriptural pattern. We sometimes go to small churches, drive a long ways. Brother Wager drove from Lloydminster to Winkler almost every week for a long, long time. What a blessing. What a father. What a father. That was not efficient. You know. But the church remains. The church remains. The church has gone through some windy days as well. But the church remains. Praise the Lord. When Jesus had passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. And I point out that this is just another event following the other events that we just read about. And now he's got a ruler of the synagogue, kind of important person likely. Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter dieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her." I underline that. You know, sometimes it says, just say the word and my servant will be healed. Here's a man that wants hands laid on to his daughter, that she may be healed and she may live. Okay, so that's the request. I'm on my way. I'm coming. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in, pressed behind, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said, I may touch but his clothes, and I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt her body that she was healed of that plague. There have been people prayed here, prayed for last night. And you may be depending on other people's prayers, which is good. But here's a woman that wasn't asking for prayer. She knew what she wanted. You know, I think there should be a lot more repentance and tears. You know, how many people want to come up for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Who hasn't been filled with the Spirit here? You know, I'm asking the question. You don't have to raise your hand. But I can tell you, if you're asking, maybe I'll come. That's not how it's been. You know, there's been some seeking. When you want to have this wonderful opportunity to have hands laid on you and gifts of the Spirit imparted unto you, if the brethren come and if I've got time, I'll see if I got see if I can get there. Oh, saints of God, how undervalued these things appear. These are tremendous things. They are tremendous things. When you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there's nothing wrong with seeking God with all of your heart. Fasting and praying. Looking to God. Fill me. I'll tell you, we need, if we're going to follow the path that Jesus walked, we're going to need to be filled with the Spirit. You know, this is not another tick off the box or an ornament that you can put on the hood of your car. This is a tremendous thing in your life. You'll be endued with power from on high. Oh yes, we like to read about this, don't we? Wonderful Jesus, you know, wouldn't it be nice to follow this man? We're kings and priests. People are going to follow. Was ministered. They go into the water. They stand there. They lead it. But everybody else gets to the promised land before they do. You know, you think, well, you know, this is a tremendous call. And we're up front. You know what? How up front was that? You're the risk taker. You get into the water. Is there anything going to happen? God says, hit the stone with your rod. Is it going to pour water? God is faithful. God is faithful. He's not doing what you want him to do. He's doing what he wants. We want to get out of the way and we want to let him do what he does, don't we? Verse 30, Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Anybody know what this is about? Has anybody ever felt virtue flowing out of their hands? Yeah. That's something you should experience. Is that virtue flowed out? You know that you didn't have a normal touch. You know that something happened and God imparted something. That's the spirit of, that's the anointing of God on your life that needs to happen. He said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you know, they didn't get it. Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Duh, right? And he looked around about her to see her that had done this thing. She said, I'm in trouble. No. This is what he wants to do. He wants to have his life flowing unto us. He said, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, daughter, oh, wonderful, isn't that? Daughter, family. You know, I like what it talks about Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus, the little man, climbs a tree. Jesus sees him. No secrets with our Lord. And he says, today I'm going to come to your house. He didn't wait for an invitation, right? I was like, how well does that work in this day? I'm coming to your house today. And he said, today you become a son of Abraham. Instantly, just like that. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You become a son of Abraham, the father of faith. Glory to God. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Is this still happening? Has he changed? The Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue a house. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? So here he is. Jesus, been on this boat, delivered this man, come back. Now he's been called to a healing for this woman or this girl. And now he's got this inconvenience. Is your life ever inconvenienced? Do people ever get, you know, the elders, do the people only get sick during the day? Hours are between 7 in the evening and 9:30 or 11, 10 o'clock, one of those two, in between there. In there. You know, that's when you can call for the elders and pray. Those are the hours. So this guy, this father, he's hanging around. And a servant comes and says, well, it's too late. You know, isn't that exactly how we sometimes think? It's too late. If this would have happened then this and that, the other thing. You can fill in all the boxes. Is it too late? You know, if you'd have been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. You're 4 days too late. Isn't it nice that the Lord, that it's printed in the Word of God that He raised Him from the dead? He is the resurrection. There's no time limit on the resurrection. There's no time limit on the resurrection. It's never too late. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler, be not afraid, only believe. Are we getting a trend here? Have you no faith on the boat? Only believe. He suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. It's a sad thing when somebody dies. When he was come, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? I just keep marveling over and over again at the faith that's available through Christ Jesus. What's the ado? And why are you weeping? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps. They laughed him to scorn. See, totally and always misunderstood. Don't you care that we're perishing? Now you're too late. And you're saying he's sleeping. You're not really clued in. They laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he put them all out. You know, there's times when we pray when the unbeliever should not be in here. Maybe that's too blunt. No? You know, when the army got smaller and smaller, he says, if you don't have faith, you just go home. There's no problem. I don't need a lot of people. I need faith. When he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. 6 words. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of age 12 years. They were astonished with great astonishment, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So we've had a little walk with Jesus tonight. I thought you'd had so much steak to eat, you needed to go for a little walk. You know, these other brethren have ministered so abundantly, so full. And it was, and I just cannot explain how satisfying it has been and is to be here and to hear what God is speaking to the church. God bless you. Does anybody have announcements? Our brother Hardy from Romania has lost a flip phone. Anybody know what a flip phone is? It flipped out of his pocket. So it's a flipper. Brother Hardy, you want to stand? Brother Hardy, would you come and close the meeting? Hardy and I go a long ways back. Used to be in partnership.
And we're going a long way forward. Praise you, Lord. Let's stand.
We're still in partnership.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Lord, we rejoice in how wonderfully you revealed yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
And he who walked the shores of Galilee and was in that stinking fishing boat and taught his disciples to trust.
Yes.
Is
yes.
Here tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
In our midst.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Reaching out his hands and saying, come and follow me.
Yes, Lord.
I will lead you into all that your inheritance has been prepared for you. Lord, I just pray you'll bless this congregation. I think of Noel again that is was taken to the hospital.
Yes, Lord.
Those that are sick and suffering among us, whether
yes,
they're here or in the body of Christ, anywhere else in the world, Lord, we are believing and trusting and with great anticipation expecting the power of God to be revealed through the saints of the Most High God.
Yes, Lord.
That the world will be without excuse in saying we did not know that Jesus walked among us. For there will be evidence everywhere of the presence of the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To you be all the honor, the glory, and the praise, now and forevermore, through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.